I want to share a story with you about how the Lord can use this, because we hear so much about the negative side of technology and videos. And there's so much video content being produced that certainly is not honoring to the Lord. But we want to take this message, take this way of communicating, and use it for the Lord. A number of years ago, right before COVID, well, actually, even before that, a missionary couple named the Peelers asked me if I'd help them make a video. They serve on a tiny island out in Micronesia, not the one that you saw in the video, but a different one. The island has about 300 people, or less than 300 people, living on the island. On that island, there's no airport. You can't get there by plane. The only way to get there is by a cargo ship, and it only goes a few times per year. And they served there for a number of years. They started a church, and I think they saw somewhere in the neighborhood of 40, in my right hand, of 40-something people saved of the 300 people living on the island. But they said, our health is bad. We just cannot stay any longer. We have to leave. Would you help us make a video showing the need of our island and asking someone to come and help? Well, I made the video. I wasn't able to go. It was the logistics of getting there by cargo ship and the amount of money it would take. And you either had to be there for 2 days or 3 months. Those are pretty much your options. And neither one of them was quite going to work for us. So they took a camera, they took a bunch of videos, and they sent it back. I made a video. And when I finished, I wasn't quite sure about it, so I sent it off to some trusted friends and advisors. One was the director of a missions agency. I sent it to him, and he called me, and I'm not going to get his words an exact quote, but he said, Brother Nathan, I know what God has called me to do. I know that I'm to be the director of this mission agency and help all of our mission families fulfill the Great Commission in their places. But he said, this video makes me ask, what am I doing here? Why am I not going? I sent it to a couple that you may know, or I shouldn't say sent it, I showed it to Jim and Pat Fry, happened to be my parents, some of you know them, and you know, they're the directors of a camp. They're not at the age where you would think they would be ones to replace some older missionaries with health problems, but they watched the video and they said, I wonder if maybe we should go. I have to be honest, by the time I got done with all of this and editing and all these people saying this, I started to think, well, maybe I should go. But I'll tell you, I struggled with it for a couple of days and prayed and finally said, Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go. But that was not the Lord's plan. But someone took that video and showed it at Ambassador Baptist College. And later I was told that a young man who saw that video said, I will go. And this is the power of someone lifting up their eyes and looking on the fields to a place that most of us have never heard of. I'm sure none of us will ever go there. And yet, video allowed a young man to see the need of 300 souls and say, you know what? I will go and I will fulfill the Great Commission on the island of Nicoro. This is why we are so passionate about making videos, because we are hoping and praying that as the videos are seen in churches, missionaries show them in churches all around the country, that it will inspire folks to be involved in the Great Commission. So I want to just ask if there's any questions before I share a few thoughts from the Word of God. Did I totally confuse you, or anything that you want to ask about what we do or why we do it? Whenever there's no questions, I think, did I do a really good job and they really understand it, or I do a really bad job that they're so confused they don't even know what to ask? Anything at all? With no questions, feel free. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed one over here. Oh my. finding the music is probably the most difficult part of making a ministry video for me. So a lot of folks say, well, can you just take this CD that I have? I've got this great CD with good Christian music on it and use it in the video. That's not legal to do. It's not royalty free music. I won't go into all the legalities, but that's not something that we're allowed to do. So there are websites where you can get royalty-free music that you're allowed to use on a video. The problem is, most people have a little different music standard than what we do. So in other words, I sort through a lot of music that I would never want to play in a church, or never would want to be the music that I would play in my home, to find the right one that has the right mood and the right message that's going to fit the message and be glorifying to the Lord. There are times when finding the music probably takes almost as much time as making the rest of the video. But there are several websites that I use that help me to do that. And as I've gone along, I've found some better resources. But it can be a challenge. Was there another one?
I was wondering, with your church support that comes in, how does that play into travel expenses and what's funded and everything?
Okay, so somebody asked me this morning where we're at as far as our support level. From where we want to be, we're at 18% of our support. And you say, how do you live on 18% of what should be your needed support? Well, whenever we do videos, it's always love offering basis. So we never charge. There are others out there, you know, plenty of commercial folks, plenty of people in the world who would make a video and they're going to charge. That's not what we want to do. As we said in the video, we want it to be on a love offering basis. So a lot of times when we do church videos, we do evangelist videos, we're taken care of well. The problem is, and I'm not saying anything bad about missionaries, but oftentimes we don't get as well taken care of in missions. And so it's not that they don't want to. A young missionary starting out who's at 0% support but needs a video to go raise support has nothing to give. So he sacrifices to give me something. So the support we're trying to raise would be to do more in the area of missions and do less, as much as we love doing church videos, evangelist videos, camp videos, to do less of those and really focus on missions. As we mentioned in the video, going overseas, that's something that just usually is cost prohibitive, and that's something that is factored into the support level that we would be able to do more of that. Did that answer the question you were asking? So, normally when we do church videos and those kind of things, our expenses are usually taken care of. The support is for the mission side. Any other questions?
David, do you have any longer-term plans of maybe training others?
I can't say I have any plans. I have dreams. You know, this past month, as we've turned folks away, because our schedule is too full, there's definitely a need. You know, if there's young folks who are interested in serving the Lord in this area, there's certainly a need. It's not a competition. There's plenty of work to be done. And, you know, I've got some dreams of ways that we could structure a ministry with more folks. You know, it's one of these things where you say, would you like to come work for me for free and bring your own money and bring your own equipment? But the Lord has a plan, I'm sure, and I've got some dreams. I don't have an exact plan laid out, but the Lord does for sure.
Are you one of the first ones to do this kind of work? Is it a growing need? Well,
it is. You know, we've seen church. You know, I remember sitting right here and watching the slide shows, and you know, oftentimes we still call them now. We saw them slide presentation, but the technology has changed so much. And I believe it's hard for missionaries to keep up with the changing technology. I don't know if I'm the first. I believe that I'm one of the few doing it this way. So oftentimes there are folks who do it for a business, and on the side they'll do a little bit of ministry. I wanted to be able to focus solely on ministry. I didn't want to be distracted between the two. And so I'm not aware. I know of others who do it and something else in conjunction. I don't know of anybody who does it just like this. That is the only thing that we do. So the question is, what does it mean to be reimbursed close to what it should be? If you go, so here's an example. One of the folks that I had to turn away this past month told me they got a quote from someone else to do the video, and they were going to be charged $1,000 per minute of video. So in other words, if it was a four-minute video, it would be $4,000. That is the rate of commercial video. So if you're asking me, do I get commercial rate? No, I do not. That's not why I exist. I exist as a ministry. Most folks want to do what's right, and oftentimes they'll say, hey, I know you work on a love offering basis. I don't know what is fair. And so oftentimes they'll say, hey, well, this is how many hours I'm going to spend on your video as an estimate. And usually they'll do what they can. Again, it depends on who it is and how much they can afford, but most folks do their very best to take care of us. So I'm backing out slowly. So this year I will be there for 2 weeks doing videos. For how many years, Hannah, were we there just about all of the summer? Six or seven? Where we've been there just about all summer. And as much as I love doing that, it's one thing for 8 weeks of the summer, and there's so many other things that we really want to do. So this, in fact, tomorrow we'll be back at camp and we'll be doing a video this week. And then the following week we'll be working with a young man and helping him kind of learn the ropes, and he'll do it the rest of the summer. We'll be there, and then we'll be taking off for the rest of the summer. We'll be in Missouri, Tennessee, North Carolina, New Jersey, and then we'll be back here at Faith Bible Church. I think it's at the end of July or beginning of August. We did a video, was it 5 years ago, I think, and so we're going to be actually redoing the video here for the church. So that's kind of our loop for the summer. Sure. So we work, we actually serve as missionaries under a mission agency. That mission agency has about 114 families. So they're all aware of us. We see them at our annual meetings. We've done work for many of them. There's another mission agency that they used to have a full-time video producer basically on their staff. And every missionary that came through their mission board, this guy would just help them. He's retired, and so now what they have is they have a list of missionaries, or list of people who might be able to help, and I'm on that list. I'm on some Facebook groups of missionaries and pastors, and sometimes opportunities to come up to say, hey, I'm available to help. And we've gone to missions conferences, we've met pastors at conferences, just slowly, and I think that's one of the reasons why, while we're in it for 6 years, the first couple of years were slow. It was just kind of getting the word out. Now, 6 years in, oh, there's just a lot more exposure that we've had the opportunity to have. Anything else? Right, I'm going to add, oh.
Is there any equipment that you need to buy now?
The Lord has been good to us. In the last year, we bought two new cameras. The value of those two cameras is about $2,500 each. And we've been able to buy those both in the last, right about a year. If you had asked me over a year ago, I would have said that's a dream, that's impossible. I would have said there's no way that I can afford those cameras anytime within the next 5 to 10 years, but the Lord did it in some really neat and amazing ways. There's always equipment, so yes. But we are in a better place than we've ever been as far as the equipment that we have. I'm very happy that the Lord has provided, but there's always a wish list. Probably double to triple that time. Yeah. I would say for every minute of video that I complete, I used to say 2 to 4 hours of my time. That's probably being a little bit optimistic. It's probably more 4 to 6 hours of time per minute of video. It comes back to how much time do I spend looking for music. Some of it comes back to how well the missionary or the church is prepared. The more prepared they are with a script and getting things in order makes it easier. I've had times where somebody would sit down in front of camera and just talk for 30 or 45 minutes, and then I've got to figure out what is important to cut down and make it into a 6-minute video. That adds a lot of time. But I typically would say it's going to take me, as far as my scheduling, I'm going to count on at least a week of scheduling to finish most videos. Anything else? I want to share just a few thoughts from the Word of God. They're going to be simple, simple verses, familiar verses. And I hope, though, that maybe I can string them together in a way that will make you think about your involvement in missions or evangelism, in soul winning here in your own town, in your own community. And think about it almost in an outline form, and see where in that outline, where in the progression is a stumbling block or is a hold up for you. And I want to address this topic, the anatomy of missions. You say the anatomy. Well, I probably shouldn't say this. Hannah walked out. I was going to call it the body parts of missions. And she said, that doesn't sound good. You should call it the anatomy of missions. So Hannah, I called it the anatomy of missions. Look at John chapter 4, verse 35, and if I was to ask you, a lot of these verses I'm going to address tonight, we've already talked about in the video and through the course of this, but if I was to ask you to think of a body part, literally, part of our body that's involved in missions that's first, what would you think of? Would there be a part that you would say, this is where the seat of missions takes place? Is there anything that comes to mind? The heart, okay? think that's a really great answer, but I want to back up. We've already addressed this in John chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white already to harvest." As I was thinking about this, I was thinking how often I go through my day and I physically see people. I think most of us do, unless we stay at home a lot, but there are times we go to the store, we go out to our jobs, whatever it is, we see people. Physically, we see them, right? But the question is, do we see them with a spiritual lens? Do we see them as lost souls? And at least in my outline here, my progression, I believe that missions has to start with our eyes as we see lost souls. Now, could you think of a situation, you don't have to answer this, where the Bible illustrates being able to see with a physical eye and yet being blinded spiritually? I was thinking of, I think it's 2 Kings chapter number 6, and the king of Assyria kept attacking Israel, and he kept losing. And he said, who among us is the spy? And they said, king, there's no spy. It's the prophet Elisha that keeps telling the king of Israel your plans. And the king of Syria said, well, I will take care of this prophet Elisha right away, and my problem will be solved. And you remember, Elisha and the servant woke up in the morning, and they looked out, and they saw chariots and horsemen and a whole army surrounding the city. And what was the servant doing? He was afraid. Because what was happening? He was looking with a physical eye. He said, I'm seeing this great army around me. I'm going to die. Oh, no. And Elisha said, Lord, would you open his eyes? Were his eyes open physically? I think they were very open. He was like, oh, no, look what's going on around me. But no, Elisha said, open his eyes spiritually. Help him to see what's going on. And all of a sudden, the servant saw the armies of the Lord. And he saw this in a whole different light in a spiritual context. So what I want to ask you is, when you go to town, when you go to the store, you go to the supermarket, whatever it is, wherever you go, whatever you do, your business, your place of work, are you seeing physically or are you seeing spiritually? I can tell you that oftentimes I see physically. I see people, they're doing their thing. They're on the other side of the gas pump, they're pumping gas. They're on the other side of the cash register, they're checking me out, whatever it is. But do I see them as souls that need the gospel? I believe the next step for me as I've thought about this is the heart that we just mentioned. We mentioned the verse in Lamentations chapter number 3, verse 48 and verse 50 through 51. Jeremiah wrote this. He said, mine eye runneth down with rivers of water. What was he saying? He was weeping for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Couldn't we look at the world around us, the society around us, and shouldn't our hearts be broken for the destruction and the wickedness in our society? Are we upset about it, or are we truly broken and weeping over what's going on around us? Jeremiah said, mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not. There was no rest. There was no break for him. There was a constant just heartbrokenness over what was going on. He says, without intermission, till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. And then he said, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. I believe it starts with the eye. And I believe the way, the test to know whether we're seeing with just a physical eye or with a spiritual eye is whether our heart is actually moved. If we are just looking with a physical eye, we don't feel anything. Our heart isn't motivated to be involved in any way. But I believe when our eyes are open, that it means our heart is going to be motivated. Our heart's going to be convicted to do something. You know, not just Jeremiah was moved by what he saw, but Jesus himself. Again, I'm almost repeating the video, but it's not meant to be that way, but maybe the Lord has something in this. But Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38, Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, it says he was moved with compassion on them. It started with seeing them, and then he was moved. It says, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Started with seeing and then moved with compassion. Mark chapter 6, verse 34 also says a very similar thing. It says, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them. Again, it started with seeing and then he was moved. There was compassion. So in this progression, we have our eyes. We see them. We see them physically. If we have spiritual lenses, so to speak, we see them as lost souls and then our hearts are moved. What's the next progression? Well, I was thinking about our feet. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring tidings of good things. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, in a very real and practical sense, how do we share the gospel? In a real and practical sense, how do missionaries go to a foreign field? Well, I was thinking about, okay, they fly. They get on a plane, they fly. No, back up. How did they get on the plane? They walked. What did they do when they got off the plane on the other side? They walked. How do we share the gospel? Oftentimes, it requires us to walk. Physically, I'm not talking about some allegory here. I'm talking about physically walking and taking the gospel. You know, I find for myself as I look through this that sometimes this is where I stop. I go, okay, I see you. I know you're lost. Man, I wish somebody would tell you, give them the gospel. I wish somebody would give them a gospel tract, right? And sometimes the hardest part for me is this. And going. Often I'm at the gas pump and the person on the other side of the gas pump, I'm thinking, boy, that person's 5 feet away. They need the gospel. And I stand there in fear going, but Lord, but I don't want to, but they look scary. Have you ever thought that? Am I alone? Okay. But our feet have to be involved. There may be a time when somebody comes to you and asks you about your faith, but for the most part, God has commanded us to go, us to take the gospel. Mark 16, 15 says, and go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Find it interesting if we were to back up into Mark chapter 6 where we read, Jesus, he saw them, he was moved with compassion on them, and then later it says he began to teach them. So there was a seeing, there was a compassion, and then there was an action taken. I'm going to insert feet in there, but then the next thing we're going to talk about, which I think is obvious, is our mouth. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, we can think about preaching as about what Pastor Sean does every Sunday. Every Wednesday, he gets up here and he preaches for, is it 30 minutes or 45 or an hour? Or whatever it is. But could we preach in a minute? Could we share the good news of the gospel in a minute? Could we do it in 30 seconds? Could we do it in a sentence? I believe so. I believe that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ in a sentence. But I believe that we have to go, we have to open our mouth, and we have to share the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 is a familiar passage. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? Well, that's kind of an obvious question. How can you believe on something you've never even heard about? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone has to tell them. It's a simple progression. We could probably talk about our minds and our hearts and our hands, a lot of different things, but just in the area of missions and in the area of soul winning, I want to ask you, what do you think about this? Where is a spot that gets you? Are you maybe just not even seeing people as lost souls? You're just seeing bodies. Are you seeing them, but your heart's really not moved? Or is your heart moved, but boy, it's just so hard to take action? Or maybe it's just hard to open your mouth and speak. And I want you to ask the Lord to show you where it is that's the difficult spot for you and ask Him to give you strength. I was thinking about this song as I thought about these thoughts, and we sang it this morning. Pastor kind of stole it from me, but I'll read it again anyways. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice. Let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee. I know we just talked about four parts, but really, it's all. It all should be surrendered to the Lord. I believe when we're fully surrendered, then some of these things become less of a problem. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would give each of us, Lord, and even myself, the ability to overcome the fears, Lord, the temptations to just sit idly by and not do anything. Would you give us, Lord, the heart of surrender to say, Lord, you are all I need and I will surrender all to you. Lord, would you help us in the area of soul winning, in the area of evangelism, in the area of missions, Lord, to take the steps. Lord, you'd help us to see with an eye that has a spiritual lens. Would you help us to be moved with compassion and have a heart of love and pity? Lord, would you help us to be willing to go, Lord, physically and literally to go and share the gospel? And Lord, would you help us to be bold to open our mouth and proclaim the good news of salvation? Lord, help us to fulfill the command you've given us in Jesus' name.